Dear Cheap Astronomy, do we have the ability to measure the exact amount of heat arriving at the Earth from the Sun? Here on Earth, we often talk about light as being what we can see and heat as being what we can feel. But really, any wavelength of electromagnetic radiation can raise the temperature of something that absorbs it. A microwave oven heats things with high-amplitude radio waves, and even although high-frequency ionizing radiation, like ultraviolet, X, and gamma rays, tend to destroy the things that they radiate, they will still heat them up as they destroy them. So, in a nutshell, it's best just to talk about the sun's energy output. When all the electromagnetic wavelengths are taken together, the sun's surface emits about 63 million watts of energy per square meter. By the time that energy reaches Earth, after travelling 150 million kilometers and being spread out over that distance, the solar flux has diminished to around 1360 watts per square meter as it hits the Earth's upper atmosphere. That figure of 1360 watts per square meter is what's known as the solar constant, a measure of the solar flux that strikes 1 square meter of area, positioned exactly 1 astronomical unit from the Sun, and exactly perpendicular to the mean direction of solar radiation. So really, the solar constant is a standard measurement, and it's actually never constant because the Sun's output always varies slightly over time. That variation is mostly about the Sun's fluctuating magnetic field, which underlies the solar cycle, where it takes around 11 years to move from a solar minimum, very few sunspots, to a solar maximum, lots of sunspots, and over that 11-year period, the strangely named solar constant increases by about 0.1%, and then drops by about that same proportion over the next 11 years. Beyond that, we know the sun's output is very slowly increasing. When it first ignited about 5 billion years ago, its luminosity was only 70% of what it is now. In another billion years from now, it will get another 6% more luminous, and that will be enough to evaporate the oceans and spell the end of Earth's habitability. Of course, all this has been determined on paper. It's a barely measurable change. We just know it's happening in the background, and that our doom is, very slowly, approaching. Down here on the surface, it does seem as though the sun's output fluctuates wildly, even though it doesn't. Of most importance to our experience of temperature on the surface is the axial tilt of the planet. For example, at 45 degrees latitude, the sun is in the sky for 15.5 hours at one solstice and just 8.75 hours at the other solstice, which is a whopping 54% difference in day length. But that's not actually what matters. If day length was what mattered, then the hottest places on Earth would be the poles in their respective summer times when they receive 24 hours of daylight. What really matters is the angle of incidence of solar radiation. In those long polar summer days, the sun is barely above the horizon, so most of its straight-line radiation misses the Earth's surface. At the equator, despite there being only 12 hours of sunlight per day, the sun is straight overhead, meaning its radiation is always directed right at the Earth's surface, and so it's always hotter. Regardless of the angle of incidence, some of the solar energy that arrives at the Earth bounces off the outer atmosphere, some of it penetrates and then bounces off clouds, and some of it interacts with and is absorbed by the atmosphere, thereby heating the atmosphere. As a consequence of all that, the surface of the Earth only receives about half of the incoming solar radiation that hits the upper atmosphere, and even then, a lot of that is reflected back from the surface. But that energy, reflected back from the surface, still has to make it back out into space through the atmosphere. This is why all that stuff about greenhouse gases really matters. If you pump more CO2 into the atmosphere, it really does get hotter, and that is easily measurable.